5, the first 9 verses of that chapter, Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram's skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil, and for fragrant incense, onyx stones, and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I am going to show you, as the furniture, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the furniture, just so you shall construct it." May God help us in our understanding of His Word. The text is verse 8. "Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them." Let's pray together. Father, thanks for Your Word. Thank You that You are pleased to give us guidelines for Your worship, for the life You want us to lead, for the assembly of Your people. You give us so much, Father. We're grateful for that. And as we look at just a very small piece of it this morning, we ask that You'd be pleased to give us the spirit of illumination coming to us to shine in our hearts, that we might see the beauty of Your Word and the beauty of Your holiness. Bless us to this end, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago in a church in Oklahoma, I had the dubious privilege of leading the congregation through a conflict. And after we went through that conflict and saw the church substantially rebuilt, I learned in talking with people in the community that the building in which we were meeting had been over the years associated with various church fights and church conflicts. And the conflict I was involved in had been number 3. I suppose some would say 3 strikes and you're out. Well, the church subsequently sold that building and moved to another location, which I think was a good plan and a good procedure. I have another proposition for you this morning. Something quite different. Something that people in the world, I think, would find quite extraordinary. And the proposition would be for us as a congregation to display God to the world rather than conflict. To display God to the world. One of the purposes, I think, for the existence of the Church of Jesus Christ and for the assembly of God's people is to be a visible presence of God in the world. And at the head of the outline, I give you this statement, and I'm altering it slightly, but I give you this statement. God intends the Church of Jesus Christ to be His visible presence in the world. We must therefore fashion ourselves as his sanctuary for his dwelling place. See, I'm changing a few words there. For his dwelling place, so he may be seen among us. That's what we're talking about. And that's what our text in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8 leads us to. And I submit to you that if we work by the grace of God to construct ourselves in such a fashion that we will be almost a unique entity in the world as far as churches are concerned. Verse 8 in Exodus 25. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. You will notice, first of all, that God directs the people to build a sanctuary, to construct a sanctuary. And a sanctuary is something which is set aside as distinct from the world and is seen as distinct from the world by believers and unbelievers alike. Now, God is speaking to the children of Israel through Moses, and he is giving directions. And last week, those of you who were here will remember that we talked a little bit about the tabernacle. And the outer court of the tabernacle, as I attempted to portray it to you, was about four times the area of this portion of our building. From that ceiling to that ceiling, or that wall back there, and these outer walls. It was twice as wide and twice as long. And there was a curtain that went around that area. 50 cubits by 100 cubits. And the curtain was of linen. It was probably white linen. It was not made of camouflage material. It was white linen. And I suspect that it could be seen from quite a distance, distinct from the surrounding areas. Some of the young men here are fond of going, what do you call it, paintball? It's paintball. You shoot, fire paintballs, and they go out in the woods, and they put on camouflage outfits so they're not distinct from the woods. Well, this is just the opposite, isn't it? And in the middle of the courtyard was found the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. I should put it the other way around. The Holy Place and the Holy of Holies. And the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies was constructed with boards that were 10 cubits high and a cubit and a half wide, and they were put together in a wall, and one wall was 30 cubits long, and then the back was 10 cubits wide, and then the other wall was 30 cubits long, and the boards were covered with gold. And then there was a blue covering that was put over the top of the tabernacle. And just a little bit of that blue covering would hang down over the sides of those gold walls. Now think about this. It's in the desert of Sinai. And the sun is gleaming and shining and reflecting off of those white curtains and that gold sanctuary.
That place could be seen for miles. It was a sanctuary that was set off and distinct from everything else around it. And that was the objective. That's the idea of the term sanctuary. Sanctuary, the word itself, comes from the word holy, to be made holy, to sanctify, to set apart as different. And see, that's the idea then of a sanctuary. It's a different place. And the people were given the directive to construct a sanctuary. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. And so the tabernacle was a sanctuary, and God directed the people to build the sanctuary in order that He might dwell or tabernacle among them. That He might tabernacle, settle down, and make His home among the people. Now there's a play on words here. When I put this outline together, our secretary, Jane, came to me and said in point two, now is this what you mean? Is this what you mean in point two? To tabernacle? Tabernacle is a place. I said, well, I'm using this as a verb form here now. Okay? In one case, it's a place. In the second case, it's a verb form. To tabernacle, to dwell. See, that's the play. And the same root word is used. The tabernacle is the dwelling place of God. That's what it means. And we see the same thing with reference to our Lord Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's exactly the same concept. And so in the one case, there is the place, and in the second case, there is the action that is associated with the place. And the particular reason that God commanded that the tabernacle be built by the people of Israel was that that tabernacle would be a place where He would tabernacle, where He would dwell, where He would settle in and be among the people. Now, we talk about this concept more than once. And I'll encourage you to join us in our class this evening, because we're going to talk about it some more. But the idea is that God's dwelling among us as the people of God and settling down and making His home among us is quite different and distinct than His presence elsewhere in the world. The Puritans used to say He is essentially present in the world, but He is graciously present in His church. We need to talk about that some more, and we're going to do that. Well, what took place? Look at our text again. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. What happened? Well, what happened was that when the sanctuary was constructed, when the tabernacle was constructed for the purpose of God dwelling in the midst of the people, that God actually did come and sanctify
the place by His own visible presence. That's what He did. I want you to look at a couple of places in Exodus with me. I've got one of them noted in the outline, Exodus 29. And we'll read just a few verses in Exodus 29. Verse 38 and following, here are some directions concerning the sacrifices. And then we note what God will do. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 one-year-old lambs each day continuously. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And there shall be 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of beaten oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine for a drink offering with one lamb. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer it with the same grain offering and the same drink offering as in the morning offering, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you. See, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated, made holy by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me. I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and I will be their God. I will consecrate it with my glory. That was the promise. Now, turn to the end of Exodus. Just a few pages. In Exodus chapter 40, at the very end of Exodus, after the tabernacle has been built according to the specifications, and the people of Israel construct the tabernacle and set it up, and everything is in order, at the end of Exodus, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. God said, I will dwell among you. And the tabernacle was built and constructed for God to dwell in the midst of the people, and then He came in His glory, and the cloud of glory hovered over that tabernacle and hovered over the Holy of Holies. And this was the visible presence of God among the people. This is sometimes called the Shekinah glory. And the word Shekinah, lo and behold, has the same root as the word tabernacle. It's the tabernacled glory. That's what it is. And if you look up the Hebrew words, that's what you find out. That in the first instance, it's the tabernacle, the place. And in the second instance, it's the action of God being spoken of, dwelling, the tabernacling of God. So there's the tabernacle, and there's the tabernacling of God, and then finally
the glory itself tabernacles, the tabernacled glory of God. That's what Shekinah means. The tabernacled presence, the visible presence of God among the people. I really like that. It's a great picture. It's a great picture. And one of the things that we find in this text is, Exodus 25 and verse 8, let them, that is the people, construct for me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That God gives the people directions to construct the dwelling place in the world for Him. And I submit to you, dear friends in Jesus Christ, that God in those words gives us a mandate to construct for Him a dwelling place where He will come and tabernacle, make Himself at home, and visibly show Himself to the world. That's something towards which God is drawing us. And I'd like you to see that. And so I want us to look at three New Testament texts. And we'll go back and forth between Exodus 25 and these New Testament texts and see how they're connected and see what God is doing. You see, this isn't just a story about a people long ago and what God did with a people long ago. This is something that God intends to do with us. This has to do with you and me. So, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. These are words for you, dear friends in Christ. And the first thing that we need to see is that we are built together as a house, a temple. Keep your finger there in Exodus 25 and turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. After the book of Hebrews and after the book of James, to 1 Peter. And the second chapter and the fifth verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's read verses 4 and 5. And coming to Him, that is, coming to Jesus, and coming to Him as to living stones, which have been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, speaking to Christians, you also are living stones. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What are you, dear friends in Christ? You are living stones. Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone. He's the keystone of the ark. He's the cornerstone of the building. All the architecture relates to Him. And we are living stones being fitted together into a building, a spiritual house, for the purpose of offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. And that's in part what our singing is a spiritual sacrifice to God. That's what we're to do. And so God is directing us to be built into a spiritual house. Just like He directed the ancient people of Israel to build a tabernacle for His dwelling place. That's the first test. The second text we looked at last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Some of you have Bibles that have side references in them. And if you do, you will probably notice that one of the references is Exodus 25 and verse 8, and it's attached to verse 16 in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Well, it doesn't have any agreement. The temple of God is to be separate and distinct. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What is God about? God, dear friends, is about building a dwelling place in the world for Himself. And as a local congregation, we are one of those dwelling places. That is one of God's intents for us. That's part of what He is about. You are living stones. You are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, so that God will dwell among you, so that God will dwell among us. And dwell among us visibly. Now, I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But you see the connection with Exodus. And you see what God is doing in the present day. And the crime today in the Church of Jesus Christ is the controversy that scandalizes the temple of God. And too often people say of the Church of Jesus Christ, if that's what goes on there, I do not want to have anything to do with your God or with your Jesus. That's the scandal. And it is just the opposite. That God is in the business of doing. And He's given us. Go back to Exodus 25 and verse 8 again. And then we're going to look at our third New Testament text. Exodus 25 and verse 8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. That's us. We are to be about the business of building a sanctuary in which God dwells. That's our business. You see, it's one thing to have an idea that individuals must be converted in the world. That's true. Let's not play down our need to preach the gospel and to preach the gospel vigorously so that men and women will be converted from paganism and from evil and darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. Let's not play that down. God delivered the people of Israel from bondage in Egypt. God delivers people today from bondage to sin and brings them into His glorious liberty and service to Jesus Christ. But God was not finished with the people of Israel there, was He? He brought them out of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai, and He formed a covenant with them. And He was not finished with them there, was He? That wasn't enough. He gave them directions for the building of a sanctuary. And that wasn't enough. He said, I'll dwell within you and among you and walk with you. And as we follow the pages of Scripture, we find out that that isn't enough. The individualism that is so present in our culture today has seeped over and affected the Christian church to such an extent that we think wrongly that it's the end of the trail when we hear the gospel and are converted. But it's just the beginning of the trail. God is in the business of building in this world a sanctuary for Himself where He will visibly display Himself to a world that is watching. And the world is watching, friends. The world is watching the Church of Jesus Christ. So, let's go to our third text. 1 John, chapter 4. We read it just a little bit ago. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse is number 12. 1 John chapter 4 and number 12. No one has seen God at any time. Well, we'd say that's true. That's correct. God is a spirit. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now abide these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God is a spirit. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides among us and in us. And He is seen, dear friends. That's how He is seen. By the people of God, so engaged with Him and with one another that the testimony of the love of God is inescapable. And people see it. And they see Him. And isn't this the testimony toward which Jesus was driving when He said to His disciples, they will know you are My disciples
if you love one another, you care for one another, and you embrace one another, and you love me, and you do all that's necessary for one another, and God is visibly seen, the invisible God is seen in and through His people who are the temple of the living God. And I submit to you, dear friends, that part of the glory of God, part of the glory of God, is the love of God manifested among the people of God. And you know that is very distinct from the world. Why does a 15-year-old young man take a gun to a school and kill a couple of classmates and wound 13 others? No love of God in his heart. Get all the programs together you want to stop kids, or to try and stop kids from harassing one another at school, and it won't make the difference. We need to be living stones built into a spiritual house in which God dwells, and the love of God so pervades our lives that there is a visible difference. That was the case in the Old Testament. Construct for me a sanctuary in which I may dwell visibly. Dear friends, God is calling you, and God is calling me to construct in our day as living stones a dwelling place where God is visible because of our great love for Him and for one another. That's my proposition to you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, make of us that dwelling place. Construct of us as living stones a habitation for you. Grant that grace and impel us, we pray, to take up that labor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.